This is the Ryder and Lisa podcast.
Brought to you by Yegg Property Pros. Powered by Real Broker. Get a realtor who knows. Call the pros.
Gen Z will book flights on their phone, no problem.
Yeah.
And this is going viral because millennials are like, no, you make big purchases on like a laptop screen.
Totally.
Like people that like order things on their phone.
Yeah.
How? Like booking flights on your phone is just wild thought.
My dad's a boomer and he books on his phone, but not on the screen. Like he'll call.
Yeah, he'll pick up his phone and call. But like even a laptop to me is so wild. Like I need a full on like
PC?
Desktop PC, like build me a computer room, give me a printer.
That's where you're booking your flights. Printing your tickets.
So I want to know if this is actually a divide. If you're a millennial and you're booking things on your phone, just know that's next level and people look up to you.
Yeah, you're hip.
You're cool.
It's funny because I pretty much have just a glorified internet machine. I got a MacBook Pro years ago because I really thought I'd get like dig into video editing and I was going to go all the way. All I've used that thing for is the internet. And it's like you said, booking flights.
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever seen you open your laptop is when you're booking a flight.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other times.
Would you ever like, book a flight on your phone?
No. It feels like I can't like read the fine print or something, but
exactly.
There shouldn't be too much fine print.
I need like four screens in front of me to really know that I'm doing it properly.
All right, so quick poll on the text line. Just hit us up with your age and what device you use to book flights.
Yes, we need to know.
You brought something to my attention. I think it would have been maybe this winter or last. And I believed you, and now I'm regretting it.
So I said, you should wait for all of the dog poop in your yard to dry up, and then you just rake it up into a pile and throw it out that way.
But now I'm on, like, I probably would have done 3 or 4 dog poop cleanups so far this season.
If you weren't listening to my
advice. If I didn't listen to your advice.
But it has yet to get dry. Like, it's just been, like, wet.
Moisture, no, I know. So now
mushy poop.
My entire backyard is dog dumps, and they're running around back there.
Yeah.
I let them out.
Yeah.
They're dodging them like landmines the best they can, but, like, they come in smelling like poop a lot of the time.
That's not my fault.
I kind of think it is. Like, who told you the...
It was a listener. They called in. They said, the best advice I can give you is wait for everything to dry up, and then you rake it up, and then it's easy. There's no mush.
Sure. Do they have a shih tzu by chance, or like
chihuahua? Yeah, little thing. Because, like, two big hound dogs.
Like...
It's pretty bad out
there. Stanley takes bigger dumps than, like, humans. Most humans. So there's
it's not good.
Piles of wet, mushy, runny dump that would have been gone.
I understand the problem here.
Yeah, I think it's you.
What is the best way to clean up dog dumps? Because we're struggling. I think we just gotta burn the whole yard every year. Once it's spring,
you know what would happen?
Just set it on fire. Chantel said, am I the only one who cleaned up the poop all winter, so there's no big spring cleanup? Yes, in fact, you are. You are the only person, I don't know anyone else, that actively goes out throughout the winter to clean things up.
How many, like if the dogs are averaging, let's say, what, 2 dumps a day? Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's 4 dumps.
Over what? How many
total.
Months of winter did we have?
That's 120 dumps a month, and
oh
we had 5 months... Right? Let's say four months since we picked up five. Five times. Yeah, we're looking at 600 dumps that are out in the backyard right now.
Okay, 100% of the text rolling through. You gotta call a company. Support a local business. They'll come and do all the work for you. $100. They'll do the whole yard. Best money most of these people have ever spent. Dibs out paying for it.
No, I already pointed at you.
No, you didn't vocally say anything though.
Doesn't matter. I pointed at you because this is your fault. You pay for the dog dump cleanup, and I'll talk kindly about you forever.
Nobody saw you point at me. So therefore,
We have it on video.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like you have to vocally say something. What are your thoughts? Give us your opinion. Who should have to pay for the doggy clean dump cleanup? Chantel said, am I the only one who cleaned up the poop all winter, so there's no big spring cleanup? Yes, in fact, you are. You are the only person I don't know anyone else that actively goes out throughout the winter to clean things up.
How many, like, if the dogs are averaging, let's say, what, 2 dumps a day? Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's 4 dumps.
Over what? How many total. Months of winter did we have?
It's 120 dumps a month, and oh we had five gosh. Months, right? Four, let's say 4 months since we picked up five. Five times 120. Yeah, we're looking at 600 dumps that are out in the backyard right now.
Okay, 100% of the text rolling through, you gotta call a company. Support a local business. They'll come and do all the work for you. $100. They'll do the whole yard. Best money most of these people have ever spent. You, Dib's out paying for it.
No, no, I already pointed at you.
No, that didn't. You didn't vocally say anything, though.
Doesn't matter. I pointed at you because this is your fault. You pay for the dog dump cleanup, and I'll okay. talk kindly.
Who
about
agrees?
You forever.
Nobody saw you point at me. So therefore,
we have it on video. We have it on video.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like you have to vocally say something. What are your thoughts? Give us your opinion. Who should have to pay for the doggy clean dump cleanup?
Who do you think should have to clean up the dog poop here? Lisa or myself?
We are counting down the top 7 ultimate 90s crushes.
From TV or movies.
Yes. Today, it's going to be the boy version. Tomorrow, mm-hmm. Ryder, you'll take the reins and count down the top 7 girl crushes you had in the 90s.
Now, there was an honorable mention. You weren't sure if it should make the list or not. I say we go with no.
Okay.
On athletes.
Oh, true.
Because they are on TV, kind
that's
of.
That's true,
but.
Yeah. But we had Deion Sanders as an honorable mention. What a smoke show. And I'm sorry. I know a lot of you were trying to get in some answers to make it into the top 7, but they just didn't cut it. So we got to give some love to Johnny Depp, Keanu Reeves, and River Phoenix from Stand By Me. They just didn't make the list. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
But you know what? Johnny Depp made his way into the 2000s, still sexy then. Keanu Reeves, still sexy to this
day. So maybe
we
can do the 2000s list.
Maybe another time.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 7, the older brother in Boy Meets World. Don't know his name.
Don't care. You don't know his character name or actor name?
Just stared at him. Well, we got that as a text, and I was like, this has to make it into the top 7, because I remember feeling a crush.
Okay.
Back in the day. Number 6. I know this should be higher up on the list, but it's really competitive. Leonardo DiCaprio, Titanic, Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet, that was a Ooh. Terrific movie. It was just so wild that a book that old could be transformed in my mind.
Everybody's free.
Everybody's free.
Everybody's free.
To feel good.
To feel good. The church scene, if you know, you know. How did we both just break out into that song and actually kind of nail it?
Brothers and sisters together we'll make it through.
Oh, it's so good. Coming in at number 5. Also, I know, probably should be higher on the list, but had to make room for Brad Pitt. I mean, Fight Club came out in 99. We don't talk about it. River runs through it. Are you kidding me? Hello, jawline. Number 4 on the list, Freddie Prinze Jr., baby.
What?
She's all that.
Okay. I was going to say, what are some of the big ones from the 90s that he was in?
He was in a lot of them, but like, I don't know if his sex appeal ever went away. He's got cookbooks now. Love you, Freddie.
That's funny how he made that transition.
Yeah.
Like all the teen heartthrobs that would have been in love with him buying the magazines are now cooking.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number 3 on the list. Devon Sawa. Wild America. He was the love interest in Now and Then, which... Now that I think about it, that was also with, what's the actress that's in Casper across from him? What is her name?
The original Wednesday, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's going to drive me crazy. Because they were in Now and Then together, and then of course they were love interests in Casper. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm having
Christina Ricci.
Thank you. But
You're
yeah,
welcome.
Casper, it was that one moment during the school or the dance where all of our hearts just melted for Devon Sawa.
Can I keep you? Casper?
Oh, it's too much. Number 2 on our list of the top 7 90s heartthrobs. Justin. JTT, Home Improvement, the voice of Simba, you name it, he was everywhere.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, he had some great movies in the 90s.
The best.
A few of them are not appropriate anymore.
Oh, yeah, that one with Tim Allen?
Yeah.
Not Home Improvement.
No.
They were on a TV show
together.
They were
on a movie together,
They were
too.
Also in a movie together. Yeah, that wasn't good.
Just cultural appropriation all over the place. It just makes you cringe like half the movie. You're like, oh, no, what is this? Anyway, he was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I think part of his appeal was that, like, everybody liked him.
Yes, he was adorable. He was kind of a little brat.
Mm-hmm.
Love JTT. And number one.
Wait, I got a clip of JTT. It took me half an hour to find this.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Just gonna move on through?
Okay, play it.
What happened to your bike?
Okay, Stevie Randall double dared me to jump the ramp down at the park.
What ramp at the park?
We built this 5-foot ramp at the bottom of the hill to see how far we could jump.
5 feet?
5 feet? Wow, you just been shooting off there.
Oh my God.
That show is so good.
Home Improvement was everything. Okay, number one. I hope you saw this coming. That one episode when Steve Urkel became hot.
Stefan Urkel. Well, I think it was for a few episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, I also got to rewatch that.
Yeah, he transformed for the one, but I think for like a season, or like half a season he was around, this was the transformation.
Steve who? Steve Urkel.
No.
There is no Steve here. I'm Stefan, sweet thing. Stefan Urkel.
Oh, history. Like, actually, so good.
It's hard to get a cool new nickname when you're an adult. Like, after you hit about 25, you pretty much either have a nickname that people call you or you don't, right?
Exactly.
I mean, people will call you nicknames behind your back, especially if like you're in the dating world. A girl won't refer to you as like Rick, for example. She'll refer to you as like unemployed for 2 months guy.
Yeah, I've had a couple don't answer Toms in my phone.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Or like get super specific, like just tall blank.
Yeah.
Or right? Like in your girl group chat. You all refer to them just as their nicknames?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Diaper butt, tight pants, you name it.
Is that the same guy?
No.
But yeah, we have each stumbled upon new nicknames over the last week.
Yes, we have, which is great at our age.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to brag about them.
Yeah. You're cool with yours now? You're embracing it?
Oh, yeah, I forgot that mine sucks.
Yeah. I came up with both of them. Mine's super cool. Yours is
fairly
lame. I was surprised that you were on board here. But, yeah, Lisa's nickname after eating a full-size bag of Crispy Minis.
Okay, like, the full-size bag is a snack size, though.
Yeah, for a few people, for sure.
Okay, anyway, so I downed this bag of Crispy Minis. I mean, when you're eating the barbecue flavor, you can't stop. Oh, wait, no, that time it was the salt and vinegar. Which also, once you start, you just can't stop. They should steal that from Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah.
Because it's actually the case with Crispy Minis. And you eat them thinking it's a healthier choice than chips, right?
But
then all of a sudden you eat the entire bag and you're like, whoops.
Yeah. Anyway, so I said, as I watched you licking your fingers and then walking to the garbage, rolling up the bag to throw it away. I said, sweet move, family pack.
It's such a mean nickname.
What? It's not mean.
Well, I will say it's not
accurate.
That. What?
It's not mean. It's just accurate.
Yeah. And honestly, it's not that offensive anymore because family size in this economy.
Exactly.
Is one portion.
If anybody sees Lisa out and about, just start calling her Family Pack. That's her new crafty nickname.
What's your new nickname, Ryder?
I want to go by Top Comment moving forward.
Like Top Gun?
No, like just like Top Comment. You know how on most socials now, the most liked comment ends up at the top?
Oh, that's you these days.
Well, that's what I'm striving for, too. And I'm taking on some heavy hitters. Like, I was the top comment on a couple of Yag Wave posts.
Oh, that's a big deal.
And just recently, Sauce Hockey posted a video of a guy dancing really hard at a WHL game, and he spilt a little bit of beer, it looked like, on an old lady, and she was absolutely miserable about it the entire video.
Yeah, she probably didn't know that she was on the big screen, too, right?
Yeah, and I said, this is the kind of lady that looks out her window all day and scoffs at kids playing outside. Guess what that is?
Top comment.
Top comment over here. So what do you think of my cool nickname? Do you like it?
Yeah, top comment's pretty cool, but I kind of want to go back to the drawing board with Family Pack.
We could go back to one of the old ones we gave you that also had to do with eating.
Spud jug. We got these like massive things of potato salad from Costco and no one ate them. So I'm not joking. I went on a potato salad diet for 2 weeks straight. It's all I ate.
And Spud Jug was the nickname that came out of it. So let us know what you think of the nickname top comment, the nickname Spud Jug, or the nickname Family Pack.
I would rather go back to Spud Jug.
You would?
Ah, no, they both suck.
We are joined in studio by a very special guest, Jeff Mazaris, who is the founder, the man, at Jam Bottle Cap Art. Now, when you originally say that, I picture like a boat on a 2x4 made with 6 different caps. You've taken that and taken it to an entirely different level. Just to break down what you got, you brought an Elvis portrait with you today. How many bottle caps are on this bad boy?
3,315.
And it looks like exactly like Elvis. When you get really close, all of a sudden it just kind of looks like bottle caps.
Yeah.
But if you're more than 5 feet away, I'm probably 10 feet away from her right now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Elvis. I just don't understand how it's possible.
So break down how this all began. It was 2007. You were a bartender in St. Albert / Edmonton. And what happened?
Yeah. So as I was bartending, I would be opening countless beer bottles every night, serving a lot of them to Lisa.
I was there.
Yeah, she was there. She's part of the origin story.
Exactly. Some of those are mine.
Yeah, probably, actually, in all honesty. But yeah, no, so every beer I opened, I hated throwing them out because they're all really cool colors. And I decided to save them. So I just chucked them in a bucket instead of the garbage.
And you had no idea what you'd use them
for? No idea. I just knew like there was something there. You know what I mean? They're all
little
pixels.
Were you already an artist at this point?
Not really. Like, I'm artistic. I took art class in grade 9. So nothing like formal training wise. I'm an artistic guy though. Mm-hmm. Like I used to teach piano. I was an actor at one point in Vancouver. So that side of my brain is pretty active, I would say. But yeah, so like I knew there was something there. And after about a year of saving, I had this huge like pile in my basement, essentially. And I was like, okay, I got to do something with these caps. And being a musician, I'm a big Beatles fan. I just figured John Lennon, his iconic look, the glasses, you know, that stare right into the camera would be a really cool project to just try, just to see if it was possible, right? Because I had never seen anything like that. The stuff that I had seen was the boat on the 2x4.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, maybe I can just expand on this, right? And so 6 years, trial and error, I was just like figuring out what works, what doesn't, how to design, how to assemble. I figured out I had to flatten the caps because then I could layer them like fish scales. And I was just hammering in each one, like one at a time. I would hit my thumb all the time. I'm like getting, you know, bloody and whatnot. I literally put my blood, sweat, and tears into this piece over 6 years. I would take months off because I'd get frustrated. It wasn't going like I wanted it to. And then I'd come up with an idea and try it out. Or like someone would be like, why don't you use a nail gun, you dummy?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I don't know why that wasn't obvious to me at the beginning. But anyway, so then I would do that. And my dad's like, Jeff, how are you flattening these caps? And I would just have a 10-pound weight, metal weight from like a weight set. And I would use a little hand mallet and flatten each one at a time. And there's like almost 4,000 caps on that John Lennon piece. So imagine like every single one would take like 5 or 6 good hits to flatten it. And my dad's like, no. Like, you're going to get tennis elbow or something wrong with your arm if you just keep doing that.
Did you ever try just driving over them?
I did.
Oh, yes. You did?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, 100% I did. Yeah.
Line them up.
Yeah. I had a Lincoln, a 97 Lincoln Town car that I bought off my grandpa because he was getting another vehicle. So it was this big, heavy car, and like put a couple like sheet metal plates together and put the caps underneath, and it just like barely did anything. It was so weird. So the answer was, my dad has a friend who's like super into just like, he's like just, you know, jack of all trades, farmer type guy, machinist, like fab shop, can weld all this stuff, works with hydraulics. So they came up with a design where I have a hydraulic press with a plate and then like a big rotating plate underneath where I can flatten like 40 at a time. So it's literally like I use my feet. I have videos of this online and under
my
like FAQ.
This is an invention specifically for your art?
Specifically for my art.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that like that trimmed off so much time. That was one of the most tedious things. I still have to sort them all by hand into each color. But
maybe we can get on top of that eventually.
Yeah. So I already have. I've got something in the works where basically at NATE, the mechanical engineering technology class, they have a capstone project at the end of their semester. Or they're at the end of their course. And so I reached out to them and I said, hey, here's my problem. Like, I'm spending hours and hours and hours sorting into colors. Can we come up with some way to automate it? And three students basically took like an entire semester to try and figure out what the best way to do this would be. So they have this little Dubot, they call it, and it's got an optical sensor on it and a little like treadmill.
No.
So they came up with like the design for like a hopper. It would feed it in. Feed all the caps in one at a time. It would go down this conveyor. It would see what color it is, and you would code like where you want that color to go based on like how it reads the color, and then it'll pick it up and like put it into a tube, and that tube will go into the proper bucket type thing. So I'm hoping to get this built soon.
What?
I know. Yeah, I'm thinking big here. Like, this is my full-time job. The more I can maximize my time,
of course,
the more I can put out, the more time I can spend like with my family instead of sorting into colors, right? So you know, there's a purpose behind everything.
Yeah.
So I'm on the cusp of having that basically automated. And if I can automate the flattening process somehow too, then like that whole process is done.
Okay. So you have videos of how this all works over on your social media account, so people can follow along with Jeff.
Yeah.
Jam Bottle Cap Art on Instagram and on TikTok.
And Facebook
as well.
Yeah.
Perfect. And a YouTube account as well.
Where is the John Lennon these days?
Yeah.
In my house.
It is.
I will not sell that.
Yeah, no. It's your first. It's your baby.
My first one. The image you see in Forbes, that is our living room. And that's where John resides. And so it's kind of a constant reminder of, like, you know, humble beginnings. Like, this was a project that was just to see if it could be done. And it can be done, and now it's sustaining my family, and I can pay the bills with it.
So, speaking of, we haven't mentioned the Forbes part yet. So, you're in the April edition at Forbes.com because of a new piece that you're working on that doesn't even involve bottle caps. Break that down for us.
Yes. So, one of my clients reached out to me about just over a year ago to get a bottle cap piece. And in talking with this client, I discovered that he is a renowned collector of everything American history. He collects things from other countries and times and whatnot, but predominantly American history dating back like five centuries. And so he revealed this to me and said, listen, like, I might have an idea here. You're an artist. I know you work with bottle caps and wine corks as well, but I have all these damaged newspapers from centuries ago that are essentially worthless to me because I have other versions that are completely intact that actually have value, but these really don't. So if I send you a box, like, can you just make something with it? Like, let's talk about some ideas. And so months went by. He sent me this box. I open it up, and I actually on my YouTube channel have a reaction of me opening up the box that essentially has changed my life. And, you know, we'll see what happens next Thursday at
when
the auction.
For auction.
So we'll see how much my life changes there.
Yeah.
But basically, I noticed there was a whole bunch of Civil War era materials within this box. And I said, okay, well, it has to be Abe. Abe Lincoln was the president at the time. He was the most influential person in the country, like trying to unite this country divided, right? And so I floated the idea past him. He said, yeah, okay, that'll be a great like experimental piece. Absolutely. So go for it. And, you know, a lot of time went by. I had to sort through all of these newspapers, finding all these articles that applied to the time, the political climate, the social well-being of people at the time. You know, there's articles about slaves and slave owners and battles and, like, you know, the battle at Gettysburg, where 50,000 people died over this war. You know, it's just like mind-boggling stuff. It was a history lesson in itself.
Yep.
Just me going through all of this
stuff.
Well,
you could have probably made, you know, thousands of different pictures, depending on what you focused in on when you're dealing with a box.
Oh, yeah,
what was like the oldest piece in the box as far as?
I think it was from the 1760s. I want to say it was 1765. And that was before America was America.
Wow. Right?
It was just carved into stone. Yeah. It's just one rock in there.
Thou shalt not be a country.
Yeah, totally.
So you took all of this and you put your mind to it. And now it's this beautiful portrait of Abe Lincoln. And it's going up for auction in Chicago on the 18th.
Yes.
What do we think it's going to go for? Ryder, you were guessing what?
I mean, listen, it's one of the most beautiful pieces of art I've ever seen. Yeah. And I'm not kidding. It's absolutely captivating. And the amount of the story it tells, because mm-hmm. there's so much, it's just so rich in history.
Yep.
All combined together.
And you know,
in this
there's
piece.
People out there that love art, they love history, they would spend the money to
yeah,
have it
and
in
because
their house.
Because there's nothing like this, I just really think it's going to go for a whole bunch of money. Like my guess this morning when we were talking about it before meeting Jeff was $2 million. But you laughed
oh,
when I
man.
Said that.
Oh,
so.
Man.
Who knows?
I'm just trying not to get my expectations high.
Totally.
Yeah, so sorry about that.
For fear of disappointment, but yeah, you've...
$50. Yeah. Sold.
$1, Bob.
I'll tell you this. If it goes for less than $3,000, I'm buying it.
Totally. So,
you can bid. Yeah. There's online bidding available for anyone who's interested. So they can bid actually right now. Anytime now until the auction, there's the pre-bidding, I guess you would call it, period. And then the live bidding, they have a link on their website. If you want to bid, you can sign up and create an account. If you just want to watch the auction, you can sign in. Or sorry, you don't have to sign in. You can just view. They will put up a link so you can see the auction. My lot number is 37A. So like it'll be the 37th and a half piece to go up for auction that
day.
Wow.
I gotta put my money where my mouth is now.
Yeah, watch yourself.
I'm going to bid a couple of thousand.
Write that check.
Yeah. So now that the Lincoln piece is done, what is the most exciting piece that you're currently working on or have in the future?
It's hard to narrow that down. I've got about a year's worth of commissions to make ahead of me. There's some really cool ones coming up. One of which will be my first African piece. So a brewery out of Africa contacted me. And they basically want their logo done out of all African caps.
Cool.
So right now it's the process of acquiring all of these African caps. And then I'm going to make their beer. It's St. George's beer. So that'll be my third continent that has a piece
Amazing.
Of my art. I've got pieces all over North America, pieces in Europe now. And then that'll be the first one in Africa.
And you were saying, if there's a piece of for the Blue Jays, like in the stadium, or is that
for
piece?
For Labatt Brewing.
Okay.
So they have a box suite in Rogers Center in Toronto. And so two of the three pieces are Blue Jays themed. There's one of Joe Carter after he hit the home run, and then the bat flip by Batista.
Yeah.
So, and then a big Bud can, because they brew Budweiser in Canada here. And that's kind of a Blue Jays themed Labatt piece there.
Wow.
Well, it's interesting too, this new route you've taken with the Abraham Lincoln piece, that we're at a time now where people get their information online. And mm-hmm. so there's mm-hmm. no history, like there's nothing that
there's no paper.
Yeah, can continue this. So it's just you're in a really cool spot where you get to really dive into things of the past, where it makes it a little trickier to use that kind of thing in the future. Like I'm even thinking of athletes, like how cool it would be to do a piece like what you've done with Abraham Lincoln with all articles about LeBron, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look ahead at whoever the next big star is in any sport, there's just going to be so much less to work
it's
with.
It's just a screenshot of a TMZ Instagram.
yeah. It's just all off the printer. It loses a bit of its...
A digital collage of TMZ photos.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm on it.
I can make one of those on MS Paint.
There you go. Know? Yeah.
But no, I just think it's so cool that you've figured out a way to take history and put it in front of people. Because like there are so many things that like collectors like this have that are just stored away somewhere and you don't get an opportunity to really dive in. And that might lead people to look at it and explore. Like I noticed that you had Abraham Lincoln's mouth just says press. Like you used a piece of a newspaper that said press from a Lincoln article. And so that gives people an opportunity to go and dive into his relationship with the press.
Exactly.
And how big that was for the time. So it's just an endless opportunity for people to go and learn more, which at the end of the day, isn't that what art and history and all, like, everything that we learn is about that. So we don't make the same mistakes again, so that we do learn from the people that took the weight of countries on their back and showed how much you can do as one person. I think it captures all of that, which is f-ing awesome. It's so good.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you. That was a very good summary of exactly what I was going for. Mm-hmm. Just that intersection of history and art, and the fact that nowadays people get their news in so many, you know, digital ways, mm-hmm. and there's not that tactile, you know, paper in front of you. When I was making this piece, actually, I opened one newspaper, and there was legit like a coffee ring, like a coffee cup ring on the piece
of
paper.
That.
So it just, like, you know, transferred me back to, you know, 1863.
Yeah, who was that person?
Someone was reading the paper in the morning, having coffee. Oh, you know what? Like, there's a big battle here. It's getting closer. Oh, Richmond fell, whatever it may be,
that's
right?
That's where they got all their information.
And that's where they got all their information, right? So the fact that the media has such a huge impact on people's outlook on their own country or a president or whoever, right?
No kidding. So unarguable how much you leaned in on history to make this piece, but you're actually embracing technology as well with a couple hidden features. Break them down for us.
So there's going to be two features that I'm working on with this one. One of which I can talk about right now is basically I'm going to have an interactive website where you can click on any particular part of his face or any article in the background, and I'll expand it so that you can view the thing in its entirety, like the article or the image in its entirety. So you can sort of explore it and see why I chose to include certain topics and certain articles and certain images, right? So there's that, and I think that'll be a bit of a history lesson in itself.
Well, exactly. Yeah. It's exactly what I was talking about, that, like, you get to see it and you want to learn more, and you're going to have the ability to do that. So it's a very smart move on that.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And then part B, the big ticket item is basically AR, augmented reality. So what I'm going to include with every print is a QR code. All you do is scan the QR code, and then it'll bring up a web page, and it'll literally have Abraham Lincoln delivering the Gettysburg Address.
So you would hover your phone over the print that you bought off of Jeff.
Yes.
And Abe will look at you and talk to you through your phone.
It's his piece of art.
But it's his art with the mouse moving.
We got to be the first to experience this.
You two are the very first to experience this.
We just caught wind of it as, like, you just got
live.
The green light that it's ready while you were in here.
Yes.
And I've got goosebumps still. Mm-hmm. Absolutely blown away.
Amazing.
It felt like Abraham Lincoln was speaking to us.
When,
like,
can people start purchasing these prints of Abe Lincoln?
They will be available April 18th.
Okay.
So after the original is sold for $2 million, the prints will be available. I actually have a new website specifically for this artwork. It's called livinghistoryart.com.
Oh my gosh.
And there's a countdown on there so that you know exactly when the prints will be available. And get yours today.
So let's say somebody in Edmonton has an amazing collection of, like, Wayne Gretzky memorabilia, especially, like, written word. They should get a hold of you.
They should reach out to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn it, I wish I had.
I gotta find someone who's got some Wayne Gretzky stuff.
All I got is newspaper clippings that my mom cut out of times I've made the news.
And it's like the back of your head.
Yeah, there's like six of them. It would be.
I would love to make a portrait of you, Ryder, out of all of those appearances you made in the newspaper.
Yeah, he wins Radio Host of the Year in Bonnyville.
Nice.
Okay, so Jeff, I'm so happy you were able to come in before you get way too busy with upcoming projects and other interviews and becoming this, like, world-renowned artist.
Yeah,
we're
just
so
remember
proud of
us,
you.
Okay?
Remember your roots, okay? 2007, you had to kick me out of the OJs in St. Albert because I had too many double Caesars.
And
I
was doing cartwheels,
and
right?
And the rest is history.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll remember you, Roger and Louise.
Oh!
Just kidding. Actually, I do have a little, like, token of appreciation for having me on as a guest.
Okay.
It's nothing special, but it's meaningful.
All right.
What is it?
This is for you. It's a bottle cap of a horse.
A little hisses.
I know that you like horses. And, well, this one is obvious to me.
What is it?
AW recap. Hilarious. Are there little magnets?
Yeah, there are little magnets.
That
you can put them
so
on the fridge.
Thoughtful.
Those are for you.
Thank you.
That's awesome, man. We appreciate you coming in. Your story is just absolutely captivating to me. I love how it came.
Captivating.
Yeah, I heard that too.
That was a good one.
How it just came organically and like you've turned it into an absolute beast. It goes to show how people should experiment with things that they're thinking about doing. Like,
absolutely.
Go and do it.
If you have an idea, even if you think it's a bit off the wall, like give it a go, try it out.
Yeah.
Like don't give up, see it through, because if you do, there's a chance that it might be able to support your life. So
like, cause it is supporting you,
living proof.
Your wife,
yep.
Your kid, your dogs.
Yep.
That's incredible.
No, my dogs are self-sufficient.
Oh, true.
How are your fingers doing?
Yeah.
Do they get pretty sore on these projects?
No, I'm all good. I use needle nose pliers. I have like cut resistant gloves. I'm, you know,
okay.
I'm PPE protected. Like, yeah, I've had a couple nails basically fly out and hit me right in the safety glasses. And that would have been an eye gone right there. So, yeah, I make sure that I'm well protected.
Good.
Good to know.
Keep that going.
And
absolutely.
Give Jeff a follow.
Yes.
Give your social media plug one more time.
Yes, so you can find me everywhere on social media at JAM Bottle Cap Art, Jam Bottle Cap Art, and then for the Lincoln pieces, livinghistoryart.com.
We are joined by Katie from Yegg Property Pros. Where's the market at right now?
Oh, the market's looking really good this year. If you're looking to sell your home, to give you a quick idea, there were 2,500 sales in March, and this is 36% higher than last year.
Whoa.
So basically, we're looking at more sales, less inventory, and slightly higher prices. All my listings so far this year have sold in multiple offers over the first weekend, so it's definitely crazy.
When there's multiple offers and you're in a buying situation, how important is it to have a realtor, a professional on your side?
This year, more so than ever before, I would always suggest to have a really well-educated realtor with some experience in multiple offers. They are very daunting and it becomes very exhausting if you constantly lose them. So really good time to have a good realtor who knows what they're doing to set you up for your best foot forward, because you only really get one shot at putting in an offer.
And when you're buying, it's not any extra charge whether you have a realtor or not, right?
Exactly. As it stands in Alberta right now, all commissions are covered by the seller side.
If someone's listing their house this spring, do you have any tips?
Well, we like to say best thing, obviously, first is to get a realtor in there to kind of make you a curated list of what your home specifically needs. But major places to start would be just to declutter. Think about how clean and basic a show home looks. Give it a good deep clean. No one wants to see a dirty house. A fresh coat of paint is always your best ROI to freshen it up, especially if you have kids or dogs. And if it's needed, a new roof, because it's spring and we can see your roof, or new flooring if you need it.
And if people want to be in touch, where can they find you?
Our website's a great place to start, yeggpropertypros.com. Most of us are all on Instagram. We're very accessible.
Awesome. So give Yegg Property Pros a follow and check out their website as well.
What's your personal Instagram if people want to reach out to you directly?
It's KT_Harrison, and that's it.
The Ryder and Lisa Podcast.
Brought to you by Yegg Property Pros. Powered by Real Broker. Get a realtor who knows. Call the pros.
Play 107.